This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, please open your truth books. We want all of America, all 50 states, to gather around now. It is America's family hour of worship. Your truth book is your King James Bible. Please open your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 9. John, chapter 10, verse 9, where we left off last time. Just before we begin, I want to invite all of you to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, on December 21st at 6:30 p.m. for a beautiful little family Christmas program. Costumes, carols, and cookies, and a special supernatural heavenly movie, 30 Minutes by Scott Merson. You're invited. But that's not all. Christmas Day happens to be on a Sunday. Have your dinner early and come to my school on Christmas Day at 5 p.m. And we're going to have communion, the Lord's table, the Eucharist. We're going to sing Christmas carols. And I'm going to teach a beautiful line-by-line word of God. But that's not all. Then we're going to have a healing hour. We're going to open the healing bench. And my twin friend Scott Mercer is going to stand on one side and I'm on the other. Come and line up. And everybody in Brevard County who's sick, come. And we won't quit until we pray for every one of you, anoint you with oil. So, Merry Christmas to all of you. And now, John chapter 10, verse 9. Now, Jesus last time had said, used an analogy of himself, and he said, "I am the door." Now, any time in the Bible, when the Bible uses an object, an insect, or an animal, the way we understand Jesus' parables, he loves plays, and so he speaks in parables. So what we do to understand what Jesus means, since it's a metaphor, an analogy, a euphemism, we study the animal, we study the insect, or we study the object. So last week we studied the door, and let me refresh your memory. Now, we know that a door, because of evil in the world, has at least two locks. And Jesus is the door. And the first lock to keep the enemy out, to keep the devil away from you, is the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And that means demons. The second lock on the door is the word of God. In Jesus' name, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. In Jesus' name, with Jesus' stripes, I am healed, etc. So, then we learned that the door, when the enemy is trying to get us like a mad dog, like a jackal chasing us around, like a demon, we can slam the door is Jesus, right in the animal's face or the enemy's face, and then a shield comes down because Jesus is not only the advocate between you and God to forgive your sins, but Jesus is an advocate, a door, a shield between you and the enemy. So as soon as you use the double lock, Jesus' name and the word of God, then that mad dog, that mad demon trying to catch you, the door slams, the shield comes down, it's like a cylinder, and you are safe. Then we learned that there's a key to the door, and Jesus is the key. He's the key of David. Now, Jesus, the door, takes that key, and he opens, and no man shuts it. And he shuts it, and no man opens it. You have a purpose and you have a destiny. At the appointed time, if you won't give up, though you have many hindrances, though it looks like everything is blocked, Jesus is going to open that door, and that place you're supposed to be and that purpose and destiny is going to be fulfilled. Now that's what we learned last week. Did you like that?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Let's clap our hands. Say amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm alive. Let's see, Jesus, we're the body, Jesus is the head. Body come alive because the head's not dead.
Amen.
Okay, now any door worth its salt is fastened to a wall. Otherwise, the enemy would just go on either side and get you, would he not? Okay, the book of Ezekiel says that God is that wall. The word there in Hebrew is shamar, S-H-A-M-A-R. You hear us pray that. God says, I will be the wall about you to protect you from all the fiery darts of the enemy. God is a consuming fire. He's the wall of fire, Hebrews 12:29. The fire does not burn you, but when the enemy shoots the fiery darts, its little old sparkles there just disintegrate with the great big fire of God. And so therefore, we have the wall and the door. Now, with that in mind, let's continue about the door.
I am the door.
Jesus is the door.
By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved.
Now, there's no other name given under heaven and earth whereby men might be saved. You can't go over Jesus. You can't go under him or around you. Good works won't do it. Church membership won't do it. Giving your life away for others won't do it. In other words, Jesus is the door to eternal salvation.
And so go in and out and find pasture.
Now he's talking about the sheep that belong to him. So now he moves back to the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, world, Greek, Ian, age, when we were all with God in a spiritual body. Ecclesiastes 12:6 and 7 says, when you die, ere the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it. The real sheep there, God's elect, who did not betray him when Satan rebelled in our spiritual bodies. There was a time that God said, I need you to go in a mother's womb and live in a flesh body into the second earth age. I need you to be the oracles of truth, the oracles of light, to bring forth the mystery of God, the sacred secret. So he sent the sheep into this earth age, and yet the very elect at some point in your life, many of you listening to me now, have come face to face with the truth. God makes sure that you come in and you find pasture. Pasture means the word of God, the truth of God, from which comes the name pastor. And then he says you'll find pasture when you go out. Okay, that means should you kick the bucket, die before Jesus returns, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Lord is the Word. So all who belong to him, even though you come into this earth age, you find the Word, you find pasture, you find the truth. And when you go out, you go right back to him, which is the Word. We're never without the Word. And Jesus is the Word, and the Word endureth forever.
Verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy.
Now, we know that the devil is the thief in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, first earth age, Isaiah 14, the thief was the devil. Revelation 20, verse 2, the devil has many play actor names. He's called serpent, dragon, Satan, devil. Isaiah 14, he was called Lucifer. He tried to steal God's throne, and he stole a lot of God's children. But now he comes to steal the word of God from you. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, gives us a parable of the sower, S-O-W-E-R. When anyone, man or woman, boy or girl, who has the truth, sows that word, the first thing the devil does to you is try to steal it from you. I have had hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of people stand before me in this place and places I've been in before. Oh, Sherry, thank God for the truth. At last, my eyes are open. And the next Sunday, they're absent because company stopped by, there was a birthday party, or they got a promotion. You see what I'm saying? Now, that might look nice, didn't it? The company stopped by, you want to be friendly. Got a birthday party, that's nice. Okay, no. The devil comes to steal. He doesn't care how much you go to the church, but as long when you find some place to get the word of God, he's going to try to keep you from being there. Okay. Now he's coming soon at the sixth trump, and he's going to try to steal God's children again. He will steal the whole world because he's going to pretend to be the Messiah Christ. He will steal half the body of Christ because five are foolish.
I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
Now, we've all heard sermons that this means that you're supposed to have beautiful houses, beautiful cars, and a luxurious life. You might have that. Nothing wrong with that. That is not at all what it means. To have abundant life, you could be a pauper. Here's what rich is. To be in the perfect will of God. You are the richest. You have the most abundant life. Things can be happening all around you. There can be all kinds of things. But when you are in that perfect will of God, you are in abundant life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I am the good shepherd.
Now, he's been telling us, he gave us an analogy of himself as a door. But he said, just in case you don't yet know who I am, I'm going to use another analogy. I'm going to call myself a shepherd.
The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep.
Okay, remember what we do. We study what the parable he's using. Okay. A shepherd has a long staff and it has a hook on it. And the good shepherd has a staff. Now, we have two examples of the good shepherd. First of all, the good shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he appoints under shepherds like this handmaiden to watch over you. And he gives us a staff with a hook on it. You see, now let's talk about the sheep. The sheep have the most amazing thing. They just wander off hither, thither, and yon. They see a little piece of silver tinsel and think it's silver. They run for it. But the good shepherd takes that staff and puts that hook around the little lamb's neck. It doesn't hurt him, but it gently brings him back on the reservation, back in the sheep coat. In other words, the good shepherd or the under shepherd sees that you're going astray and says, come back here, and gives you the hook. In the early vaudeville in America, theater, people didn't have TV and things, so everybody went to the theater. And the actor would be up there doing his thing, la 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 la. And the director would say, boy, is he bad, give him the hook. You would not see anybody, but by the side curtain, you would see this long shepherd's staff with a hook on it, would grab that actor, and he would go, la 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 la, he's going off stage, give him the hook. They still do that in theater now. So the good shepherd knows when to give you the hook. It's tough love, but you see, the under shepherd also does this because the under shepherd knows, and the good shepherd knows, that you're about to fall off the cliff and you don't know it. Now, let's see what else about a sheep. Okay, a little sheep has a way, he just walking along there with the rest of the cattle and sheep, and he'll step into a briar, a bramble, and it hurts him, and the little thing is all captured there. Wah, bah, bah, I'm hurting. So the good shepherd goes where the thorns are, where the briars are. In the book of Judges, chapter 9, we have an example of trees. There's the bramble tree, the thorn tree, who is the devil. He pierces and sticks and jabs. So here's the little lamb, the little sheep. Remember, Christian, you're the sheep. Jesus is a shepherd. And so you're caught in a snare of the fowler. You walk flat dap into that trap, and you didn't even know it, like a sheep dumb led to the slaughter. And there's a little lamb, and the thorns are it. Now see, a good shepherd or an under shepherd will go right in there with bare hands and bare feet and start pulling those thorns off of the little lamb. And the good shepherd will get his hands pierced, and he will get covered with blood. And the good shepherd will hurt just like the little lamb. And the lamb is saying, bah, bah, wah, wah, me hurt. So the good shepherd sets the sheep free from the snare, because the sheep did not know it was walking into a snare. Now, a lamb, that wool attracts bugs. So the good shepherd anoints the sheep with oil. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus anoints his sheep with oil, with the anointing. And bugs are repelled by the scent of the oil. Because see, when you're anointed Christian sheep with the oil, the Holy Spirit, Jesus paints himself on you. And when the bugs, the demons, come at you, they are repelled because you smell like Jesus. You have his fragrance and you look like Jesus, and they think it is. So he anoints with oil to keep the bugs away. The anointing destroys the yoke. Then you hold up your hand and demons flee. Then you lay hands on the sick and they recover. Then you pray and put the oil on, and immediately you're healed. Huh? We just witnessed that. Okay, now that's not all. The little sheep, first of all, he's a lamb, and he drinks milk. Ba, 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 ba. And he drinks milk. He's so cute. But one day the good shepherd says, all right, you got to grow. So he picks up the little lamb and says, enough milk for you. You need the meat of the word. You need to go and eat pasture. So he takes a little wobbly lamb and pops him up there on his all four. And the little lamb begins to totter. Oh, wah, wah, bah, bah. Shepherd doesn't love me anymore. You're mad at me. You're not here for me anymore. Why did you forsake me? Why are you doing to this? Why am I hurting so much? But all the while, the good shepherd is right there with outstretched arms, just in case that little lamb doesn't make it. That shepherd is going to scoot him up. Then the good shepherd does a strange thing. He takes his hand and gives a nice little slap to the backside of the little lamb, and he says, "Go, go, go to the meat." The poor little lamb, crying away, goes out there, and suddenly he finds green pasture. Oh, this is good. This is true. Now I understand. It was for my good all the time that I can be a strong sheep and help other sheep. Amen. That's the good shepherd. Amen. Thank you.
12, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth.
All right. Little David was a shepherd boy, and he had a few small sheep. His older brothers made fun of him. You just have a few small sheep. But boy, did he take care of them. And when the lion came and the lamb was actually in the lion's jaw, little David got his staff. He got the rod, the spear, the tongue of Jesus, and the word of God. And he beat up that lion and dragged that sheep out of the mouth of the lion. Your adversary, the devil, goes around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. And then there was the bear, and he got the little lamb in his paws. Instead of running away, little David, the shepherd boy, took his spear. The spear is the tongue of Jesus, Revelation 1, the word of God. And he said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord God, of Most High God." And he kills the bear and snatches the sheep out of the bear's paws. That's what good shepherds do. They tell you the truth. They use the spear and the rod, the word of God, so you will not go to the paws of the soon coming bear, the soon coming fake Christ, the Antichrist.
Wolf catches them and scatters the sheep.
All right, he scatters the sheep. Paul says in his writings, "Have no divisions in the church." No, he says, English it says, "Have no schisms in the church." Schisms means in the Greek divisions or denominations. So what Paul says, have no denominations in the church. See, it is man that has called us Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian, etc., etc. We are one body, we have one Lord, we have one baptism, and we have one Bible. So you see, if an hireling, someone who is supposed to be taking care of the sheep, a watchman on the wall, if they're doing it for money, they will go along with that division's philosophy, traditions of men which make void the word of God. Once there's a true under shepherd, they will not categorize themselves that way. While there's some good things in each one, the whole truth is Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and with that under shepherd having studied from the manuscripts to get it right. So you see, then you would not divide. If the word of God were taught correctly, line by line, chapter, book, and verse, to all Christians, we would stop dividing ourselves. We would come together, and united we stand, divided we fall. We would not be scattered as we are now.
Amen. 13, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling.
Because he's doing it for the money. He doesn't care about the sheep.
And careth not for the sheep.
Now, just say David got sick one day and said, "Listen, I'm going to pay you so much silver here. I want you to go take care of my sheep." And so he gets somebody to do that, but the person does not love the sheep. He just needed the money. But boy, when that lion comes and that bear comes, boy, he runs. Find out who covers your back. You got a true shepherd.
14, I am the good shepherd.
Aya asha aya, Hebrew, I am that I am. Jesus is the good shepherd.
And I know my sheep.
And he knows his sheep. He calls them by name. The world's most famous tambourine player, Olivia Merson, and I, she's 11, and she and I just played, and we played, "When he calls me, I will answer." He knows his sheep by name. Why is that? In the world that then was, the first earth age, when Satan rebelled and drew one-third of God's children, minus the flesh, with him, Revelation 12, and the others sat there and not on a log. They all betrayed God. Their names were deleted from the Lamb's Book of Life. But there was a small group of people, Revelation 12, who got up and fought with Michael the archangel against the devil and his angels. Their names were left in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're still spiritually married, and so God knows your name. Abraham, Abraham, Moses, Moses, Samuel, Samuel. And yes, he's called my name. He knows you by name. I told you last week of my wonderful Uncle Walker, who all had all of his cattle named. Hey there, Effie, welcome home. Hey, Jesse. Hey, Susie. He had them by name. God knows your name.
And am known of mine.
And the true sheep know his voice. There is in you, I like to call it a barometer. The Old Testament calls it the Urim and the Thummim. It's right here somewhere where your diaphragm is, for those of us seeing know that, solar plexus. And when the Holy Spirit nudges you, that's not right. Caution, look out. I don't care how pretty somebody's praying, acting, saying, when that human and human starts going that way, you know his voice. You know it. It's the slightest nuance of a 16th of a fraction of a nudge. But you know. And then if you're a true sheep, you'll turn on a dime, no matter what anybody thinks, no matter if you offend someone. See, it's relationship. It's a marriage. And you know your mate's slightest feeling.
Seen as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father.
Now Jesus gives us an illustration. So he says, my Father knows my name and I know my Father, so I'm your shepherd, so I know your name and you know my name. Well, God the Father's name is Yahweh in the Hebrew, YHVH. Jesus' name is Yahweh Savior. So the Father is Yahweh Senior and Jesus is Yahweh Junior. So surely they know each other, right? So Jesus says in the same way, the Father and I are one, now that we may be one. Now as we come into the fold, then we become one with the Good Shepherd. See, it's God the Father, God the Son, and of course the Holy Spirit is the spirit of both of them, and then we become one, and we all become one. And we all know God's name, and God knows our names.
And I lay down my life for the sheep.
Jesus came to die. That was the point, to defeat death, whose name is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. You see, a good shepherd will actually hurt themselves to help you. Many times we die in our spirits to have to correct people or to drag or put that hook on or go into the brambles for people we love. It's kind of a death of our heart because we know most people don't understand and appreciate it. No greater love hath this than a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus died for you.
13, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. When I say I must bring, and they shall hear my voice.
Now this is recorded in 1 Peter, round about chapter 3. When Jesus said, it is finished, Mary's rich uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, nearest kinsman redeemer, claimed Jesus' body and put it in his newly hewn tomb. But Jesus' spirit went and preached to those held captive all the way back to Noah's time who had died, who had never heard the truth. And see, they were not of the fold. They did not know the truth. They were on the wrong side of paradise, Luke 16. And Jesus went and preached to them, I've just set you free. I paid the sin debt. Will you accept me? And he led captivity captive. And then they become a part of the fold. Remember, God told Paul, he said, on three levels, you teach to the house of Israel, the 10 tribes, which would also include the other two, to the kings and queens, the Zadok, the elect, and to the Gentiles, those who are not the seed of Abraham, whosoever will may come.
And they shall be one fold and one shepherd.
The beautiful book of Ezekiel, Millennium and Future Heaven on Earth, tells us from 44 on to through 48, the end. He gives us a layout there that we're all one. Earth will be rejuvenated. Revelation 21, heaven and Jerusalem down here. All evil gone into the lake of fire. There's the Temple Mount area. We don't need a temple. Jesus is a temple thereof. And there are little rooms there, little rooms for the elect And David has a villa. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are there. Holy Spirit just pouring out that beautiful energy to us. Right in front of the temple area, Ezekiel 44, onto the end, there are allotments for all 12 tribes. All Israel shall be saved because of the teaching, discipline teaching, by the Zadok in the millennium. And then all on planet Earth, all the oceans will be dried up, and there are beautiful allotments for the kings and queens of the ethnos, all the races. And we shall be one fold and one flock with one shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I do walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness, surely mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise ye the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the good shepherd, and thank you for saving us, your sheep. Amen. 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 God bless you. We'll begin right there next time. But right now, it's time for Mystery Moment, and I want to welcome, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. It was great today.
Thank you.
Just put out with so much love. It's just amazing.
So much love. That's the love of God going through me, Scott.
It is.
It's God's words, powerful, isn't
it? It is.
Give us some questions.
Okay,
please.
Our first question. Since our spiritual bodies are all young and perfect, how will we recognize our aged and sickly loved ones in the spirit?
Okay, so the caller there means that when their person died, they were aged and sickly. Here's how we will know. Ezekiel, that's Ezekiel again, 44, says that elect Zadok, if we see a father, mother, sister, brother who having a hard time there, we may go to them. If we see them, we would recognize them. You are not your flesh. You are a spirit. And if you only knew it, you actually recognize people by their spirit. A person walks in and they're gloomy and they're negative, and we feel little drops of negation falling all over the room, right? You know that? We have a person feeling, you just said love, that comes through me because that comes from God. That's the essence of God's heart, and it's the essence of my heart. Then love just permeates the place. We want to know them by their spirit. The Bible says you shall know as you are known. So that's how you do it.
Yes. Okay, our next question. Does President Trump's name send a message for these end times?
Absolutely. It was God's plan that President Donald J. Trump should be our president as we come to the end. In Revelation, there are seven Trumps. A Trump is a lights, camera, action. Boy, has there ever been any lights, camera, action like President Donald Trump. Now, at the seventh Trump, Jesus will come, that event. At the sixth Trump, we're coming up on that, the Antichrist will appear. We are now in the fifth Trump, and I am blowing the fifth Trump. It's a time of learning. And so God appointed, he moved out and cleaned out the Kenite government that was destroying America and put in the seat of Abraham government, because Donald Trump might not know this, but I happen to know that Scuta, one of the daughters of the last king of Judah, Scotland, is Hebrew, and he's from that. And so that pure seed could be here so that we could be free to teach this word. See, now I can say things without somebody in the government getting me or charging me extra taxes.
Yeah, and as we were told too, this is such a time of preparation and sanctification.
Absolutely.
And what a perfect person to walk into this.
Yes, with. Donald Trump. Yes. That's right. God for such a time. He says, you're right. Preparation and dedication also part of the time of learning the fifth Trump. That's good, Scott.
Amen. In our next question, in Revelation said the overcomers will be pillars in the eternal temple. Can you explain that?
Yes, he says we'll be pillars in the eternal temple. That would be the elect, the overcomers who overcome the temptation of the Antichrist. That would be the Zadok. A pillar stands by the door and supports the door. Well, we learned today, that the door is Jesus, right? We also learned in the book of Revelation that we don't need a literal temple because Jesus is the temple there are. So what happens, the pillars, the overcomers, stand right beside the door. We never go in, we never go out, right beside the temple. Now, Jesus might want to walk around over planet Earth, but the pillars are right there. We never again have to leave the love of our soul as we had to do when we came from the first earth age into this. A pillar supports and stable. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's great.
So. Okay. Scott, you know David left his stuff in the cart?
Yeah.
And Ezekiel put his stuff in a suitcase and got out of Dodge?
Yeah.
Well, you have some beautiful stuff, Scott. Would you share it with us, please?
Yeah. We just got a great word for this time. I am renewing the covenant, coming full circle, giving supernatural strength through supernatural events, uncovering things of the past hidden. Find the treasures that are hidden deep in the fields that I take you to. Hidden riches deposited will be unearthed. There are deposits of spiritual deposits to be redeemed. In John 4:37, the scripture.
That is so beautiful. And I have visions and revelations of the Lord, Scott. And recently I wrote it in my journal. I dreamed I was walking on a plot, a field, and you were there spiritually. You were floating like I float, okay? We do that, so y'all are strange if you don't do that. And I looked down, and I thought I saw a notebook that had some beautiful words in it. I stooped down in the earth to pick it up. When I picked it up, I saw that there was journal after journal after journal, treasures of God's word buried in the earth, and I began to unearth them.
Amen.
Oh, the treasures of the kingdom about to be unearthed to God's children.
The unsearchable, right?
Absolutely.
Amen. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you so much, Scott Mercer. We appreciate you. God bless you. We love your Scott stuff. Don't you like those things?
Yes.
Yes. Scott stuff. Now, for those of you who are not saved, please pray this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
To
enlarge your territory. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. In a little while, my announcer will give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave that message. But now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in his wings. Wherever there is congestion in the lungs, I break the congestion. I break the congestion. I break the congestion. That the Holy Spirit breathe, breathe, breathe through there in Jesus' name. Hearts be made whole in Jesus' name. Depression be gone in Jesus' name. Headaches be gone. Fibromyalgia be gone. Vertebrae be healed. Bones be made strong. Missing parts of the body be recreated in the name and the power of Jesus. Top of the head to the soles of your feet. I see ears, hear. Lame legs walk, joy, joy, joy. He sent his word and healed you. Come out of the oppression into the joy in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Somebody got it. Call and tell me that too. Now it's time for your love line of the week. Excuse me. From my heart to your heart. Great doors open on small hinges. The Bible says, despise not small beginnings. David just took care of a few small sheep. They had him hidden out there. But all of a sudden, everything turned, and he was the shepherd of Israel, the king of Israel. Jesus says he is faithful in small things. I will make him ruler over many. Great big doors open on small hinges. I want to thank all of you for listening. I love you for that. And please feel free to call me and leave your message there. Ask me for prayer if you like, or give comments about the program. I appreciate it. Tell me you love me because I love you. I want to invite each of you to come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m. Don't forget Christmas, December 21st, 6:30 p.m., the play. And December 25th, 5 p.m., all kind of good things. And healing. Tell everybody who's sick and bring them in. And now I remember this about Jesus. Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." God bless you, and I love you. This is Sherry Medlock in Jesus' Truth with Love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Say goodnight to the light of the setting sun. One more day, one more way for keeping track of all I I've done. I run this race, keep this pace. I'm doing fine, and I won't stop until each box gets checked a second time. And life becomes the round and round revolving door that won't slow down. It won't slow down.
Screams, I am free. I am free. You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
Homebound Henry, he's got a tumor in his head. He wakes up sweating every morning after dreaming he was dead. He used to think that life was boring, but now that's not the case. He turns to his wife in the evening. He says, "Honey, I'm afraid I'm gonna lose this race. Sweet River Road. Husband left her for some bimbo after 22 years. Now she's got to start all over, but she's just so terrified. She thinks it would have been so much easier if you would have just died. Sweet River Road. I can still feel your pain, and I've thought and prayed and worked it through about 100 times or more. How your soul just cries to everyone to help you get up off the floor. Right now it's morning, you're probably sleeping. I bet you're totally unaware of the flood of kisses you hold back by the way that you despair. It ain't me I'm talking about here, or anybody else you can touch. And that's all I'm gonna say right now. I don't wanna say too much, except sweet Jesus rolled, oh, all over me. Sweet Jesus rolled. Roll all over choose to leave, to call on the invisible as if it could be seen. Here in this moment, I am unafraid to take part in this suffering and be called by Jesus' name. And I stand unashamed. Count all gain as loss, take all my pride and sinfulness and nail it to the cross. And I stand unashamed.
Savior, to save us. us from ourselves. For it's only by the grace of God that we can live to tell. Because of that blood, because of that tree, because of that mercy pouring over me, because of that grace, I've been set free. Because of you, Jesus, I have been redeemed. Yeah. Who of us can say that? Because of that blood, because of that tree, because of that mercy, Lord, it's pouring over me. Because of that grace, I've been set free. Because of you, Jesus, I have been redeemed. Because of that grace, I've been set free. Thank you, Lord.